Should have some extras they would love to give to you. Now, the title of my message is Your Vision 2020? Everybody knows when you go to the eye doctor, you want to hear you have 2020 vision, right? That's considered perfect vision, 2020 vision. Interesting enough, this year is what? 2020, and I just think God always uses things like this to help us focus on what's important. And so I want to talk about your vision, but I want to tie it in. It's just as a metaphor, not really talking about your physical vision, but your spiritual vision. But I think they go hand in hand. So we talk about having 2020 vision. Can you have 2020 vision in the spirit realm? Is it important? Can you see in the spirit realm? I believe you can. That's what I want to talk about today. In fact, there was a prophet in the Old Testament, and his name was Elisha. Anybody heard of the prophet Elisha? He did great things. He did mighty things. He was a protege of the prophet Elijah, and Elijah said to Elisha, he said, "Ask me what you want." He said, "I want a double portion of your anointing." And when Elijah was carried up into heaven on a chariot of fire, he said, "You'll get it. You'll know if you got it if you get my mantle." And as he went up, the mantle came down, and Elisha got that mantle, and he got that double anointing. He was a mighty man of God. He had a servant named Gehazi. And there was a time when Israel was at war with another nation, and Elisha would tell the king of Israel the plans of the enemy ahead of time, because he was a man of God, and he prayed, and he heard in the spirit. And the king of this other nation was so frustrated, he said, "Who among us is a traitor? Because every time we do something, they're ready for us." And one of the guys says, "It's not one of us." He says, "It's one of them. His name is Elisha. And he tells everything that we say in secret, he tells it to the king." And they said, "Well, we're going to go get that guy, Elisha." And it says that Elisha woke up in the morning with his servant Gehazi, and they were surrounded by an enemy army. Thousands of men came to get this one guy. And Gehazi, the servant, said to him, "We're in trouble," basically, I'm paraphrasing, "because we're surrounded by an army." And Elisha said to Gehazi, "No, we're not in trouble." He said, "There's more with us than is with them." And Gehazi said, he probably thought, "Oh, my master's been out in the sun too long. He hasn't taken his medicines, or what's going on? There's two of these." Look, he said, two, and thousands. And Elisha, you know, said, "There's more with us." And so Elisha prayed, and he said, "Lord, open his eyes." And his eyes were open, right? His physical eyes, but he prayed for his spiritual eyes. And he said when he prayed that prayer, Gehazi looked, and on the mountains, the army had come down inside this mountain range that surrounded their house. And he said that Gehazi's eyes were opened, and he saw the mountains covered with the angels of God with their swords and chariots of fire. And all of a sudden, his courage went up. Why? Because he was able to see. So it made a big difference to him to be able to see a spiritual reality. Were the angels there all the time? Yes. So sometimes in life we get discouraged, we get worried, we get fearful. But if we could only see what God sees, if we could only see into the spirit realm of what God's getting ready to do, or what God has prepared for you in this year, in this coming year. You may be starting this year a little discouraged. I mean, because you're looking ahead and all you can see is what you can see. And I want to pray that today, as we look at the Word of God, that your eyes will be open to something supernatural. And you begin to see the plans of God for your life. Because I can assure you today that God's plans are better than your plans. They're bigger than your plans. They're mightier. And they're not just natural, and they're supernatural. And that's the limitation, is because we want to figure out what we can figure out. And we want to think of what we can do and what I can accomplish. Well, if I go to the gym more and if I do this more, maybe I can do this. But I want to encourage you, and my faith today is for something supernatural to happen in your life, to where our eyes are open like Gehazi, to be able to see what God is doing in the earth around us, and in our own life, and what's available to you. I believe there's more available to you and to me today and this year than what we've been tapping into. And I want us all individually and as a church to go to a new level. I want 2020 to be our best year yet. And I want to go up a major step with God because I believe that's the plan of God. So as we look at this and we talk about, is your vision 2020? I want to talk about for the coming year, the next 360 days, I pray that you and I will be able to see what God sees about this coming year. Amen. What do you see in 2020? What's in your future? What's God's plans for you? Jeremiah chapter 29, I love this verse, verse 11. Look at this. Let's just begin to lift our vision higher. Amen? Let's look down on low vision and begin expecting a higher vision for our life. Because I can assure you God has great plans for your life. That's what it says right here. God speaking to man, speaking to you. He's no respecter of persons. What he's done for others, he'll do for me. And he's speaking this over you and to you as an encouragement for your life. And here's what he says. I know the plans I have for you. So right there it says that God has. I have. He said, I have. Now, in the present. Now, I have plans. Right now, God has plans for you. And they're good plans. They're mighty plans. They're beyond. In fact, if he fully shared that plan with you right now, you know it's a plan from God if you go, oh, I don't know about that. Why? Because it's beyond what you can do because you're going to need God, the supernatural. He wants to take us into a supernatural realm. He says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you. So I want you to go ahead and start thinking about prosperity this year because that's what the Bible says. Go ahead, start thinking that. Now, the devil wants God's people poor, and the devil wants his people rich because he wants to control the resources of the planet because resources are leverage. Like if you had a labor, you can move something bigger if you have a lever. That's what resources do. They leverage your time and your ability. And so God wants his people to have more leverage, to be able to do more. He wants the resources of the planets in the hands of his people. So here's what it says. Start opening your eyes to what God's plans are. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Maybe some things harmed you last year. Let's lift our vision higher. And don't think that God has plans to harm you. Start lifting your vision, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. What does God see looking ahead to 2020? I like this verse to put it into perspective in James chapter 4. It says, you are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. What does that mean? That means you have to put your life into eternal perspective. Life is not just about this life. This life is preparation for the next life. This life is a test to see how will we use the things that God's given us to steward, which falls into three categories, your time, your talent, and your treasure. You are a steward of those three things. You're a steward of your time. You're a steward of all the talents, the gifts and abilities that God's given you. That's why we're going to have discovery today, so that you can discover what kind of unique talents God's given you. Then you can decide what to do with those, and your treasure. So the use of your time, your talent, and your treasure today determines your position in eternity and what kind of rewards you will get. So how will you spend the next 360 days? Will you spend them well? I found that God has given every person a free will. Nobody's a robot. Nobody's pre-programmed. He told the people of Israel, Deuteronomy 30:19, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you may. So it's up to us. So you and I are going to make choices every day how we will spend that day. When you get up in the morning, you're going to choose what you do with that day. How will you spend the next 360 days? If Jesus came back at the end of this year, will he be proud of how you spent the last 365 days? Will they be worthwhile days? Will God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Will you put God first? We don't know yet. We don't know what you're going to do with the rest of today and tomorrow. And that's where you're going to exercise your free will. Here's the question. Will you put God first every day? Will you put God first? And one thing I've found out about God is that he wants to be first. Why? Do you think it's because he's egotistical? No. He's God all by himself. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need us to say you're great. He's great. Why does he want us to put him first? Because what you put first is what you worship, and you become like what you worship. And he is the highest, greatest, most pure, most loving being in the universe. And if you worship him, you become like him. He wants us to worship him. He wants us to put him first because that's what's best for us, and he wants what's best for us. Does that make sense? Yeah. But the decision every day is what we will put first in our life. And what I found out in life is there's thousands and thousands, maybe millions of things that are vying for first place in your life. Every day when you get up, there's stuff. There's stuff. There's all kinds of stuff that's vying for your attention. And not that you can't give attention to those things, but let me just say, we need to put God first, or all of those other things become idols, and God will become jealous of those things, and then they won't be a blessing to us. How's your vision for 2020? Today we're going to start 21 days of prayer and fasting. How many of you are excited about this? I am. I'm excited about this. We've started doing this for a number of years to make a habit of starting off the year with a special time of prayer and fasting. Let's make the most of it. Let's make it a special time to rise to a new level. I believe it'll be worth it. We're going to fast and pray. Not just, we're not going on a diet to lose weight. We're seeking to get something, get into a better place with God. Amen. I want to encourage you during this next 21 days, not just to fast and not just to pray, but to set some goals. And I encourage you to do that today on the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day. I put some space in your notes in the beginning, and there's lines in the back. What are your goals? Set some goals. Maybe you need to, let's just give me some ideas, examples. Maybe you need to break a habit. That would be a goal, that during this next 21 days of praying and fasting, you say, what is that? What are you even talking about? I understand some people aren't familiar with that. I think it's something that maybe we don't talk enough about and that we don't utilize enough in the kingdom of God is the power of fasting. But fasting is throughout the Bible from the very beginning to the very end. And fast means to do without. So there are different types of fasts. In a moment, we're going to look at where we get the understanding of the Daniel fast, but generally it means to just drink water, to fast, to abstain from foods. A lot of times Israel would be in a bad spot and the king would call a fast and say nobody can eat anything. And they were serious about it, because if you ate something, they'd kill you, because they knew how serious it was. And every time they would do this, they'd get a breakthrough. Something would happen. Now, you need to, I'm not going to tell you what, because not everybody can do the same thing. I understand we have different, you know, ages and conditions and medical conditions. And obviously, if you're concerned about something, talk to your doctor. And there are things on the website that will give you guidance on how to fast. So it doesn't have to 21 days. I wouldn't suggest, unless, you know, God really reveals it to you, to do 21 days on just water. I've never done 21 days. I've gone as long as 10 days with just water. You'll be surprised what you can do when you don't think you can do it. I mean, I've done 10. You can do other types of fasts, but if you want to talk, I would encourage you to, if you're going to do like a Daniel fast, or I'm going to fast certain foods, try to mix in some periods of just drinking water, even if it's just one meal. Just skip one meal and say, I'm going to skip this meal entirely. And then maybe you say, well, that wasn't that hard. I can do two meals, and then maybe three. I'm telling you, you won't die. You might, your brain's going to tell, your stomach's going to tell your brain you're going to die. But you really won't die. I'm not saying it's easy. But I will say, I've done 10 days without water. I've done 7 days, 5 days, hundreds of three-day water fasts, thousands. Almost, I was trying to figure it out the other day, at least 2,000 one-day complete fasts of just drinking water. You won't die. And you actually feel better. It's It's very possible. So I want to encourage you to, if you're going to, whatever kind of fast you do, try to mix in some times of just doing a water day and mixing that in. But set a goal of what you want to achieve. So as you're doing this, and we're going to look at what happens, the first thing that's noticed in Scripture that happens is that a fast humbles us. How many of you know that's a good thing?
Yeah.
And so I think the fast, whatever it is, should humble you. So whatever you're doing should be a constant reminder, why am I doing this? Because I really want to eat this or that. And it's, oh yes, and it humbles us. There's something that wars against, it's something in our flesh that does not like to be humbled. And so I just want to encourage you. I know people have different medical conditions. Like I'm saying, don't do something that your doctor would tell you not to do. But challenge yourself, because it will humble you. Now, here's some goals that you want to set. Break a bad habit. If you've got a bad habit in your life, this is a very powerful time. I believe that habit can be broken in 21 days.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, science tells us that it takes 21 days to develop a new, fresh habit in your life. So you want to replace the bad habit with a new habit. Discipline yourself during the 21 days as you're constantly reminded, why am I doing this? Why am I hungry? Why is my stomach growling? Oh yeah, I'm breaking this habit in my life, and at the end of this 21 days, I'm going to be a different person. Things are going to be different in my life. This is going to be gone. It's going to be buried in the sea. Like the Israelites, as they come through, and they had fought against the Pharaoh for so many years, and he said this one last thing. He said, when you go through the Red Sea, you're never going to see them again. I believe that we can break some things in our life through the 21 days that have been hounding you and plaguing you for years, that you're going to never see it again.
Amen.
It's going to be buried in the sea. God's going to wipe it out of your life. You're going to make a decision and change something forever in your life.
Yes.
Might be fear, might be worry, might be anger. Maybe you got a bad temper. Might be drugs or pornography or cursing or lying or laziness. Or who? The list goes on and on. Huh? We're all susceptible to something. And you know, so think about breaking a habit. Maybe there's a healing you need in your body. Maybe there's something you've been struggling with. Maybe there's something so you've been praying about, or even the doctors can't fix it. Do you believe? I believe that if you set this as a goal and begin to fast and pray, that we can have some supernatural healings in Jesus' name. Another thing would be a financial breakthrough. Maybe you've been struggling with debt for so long that you feel like maybe it's never going to change. How about setting it as a goal at the beginning of this 21 days, at the end of this 21 days, I'll never see that cursed debt again. God's going to do something supernatural and give me a breakthrough in this area of life. Maybe it's guidance. Maybe you feel confused. You don't know. You don't know what the next step is for your life. Maybe you could set a goal, but by the end of this 21 days, I'm going to have my answer. God's going to speak to me. Now, I've laid some of these things out, and we're going to look at some examples. We're going to start the 21 days of prayer and fasting today. It's going to go through January 25th. And what we're going to do on Wednesday nights, everybody say Wednesday night, for 1 hour, it's going to be the hour of power from 7 to 8, starting this Wednesday and the next three Wednesdays. Now, we've always had a prayer time during the 21 days, but I felt something different this time. And I started feeling, usually we pray, we have our own time of prayer, then we come together and we pray for the city and our country and our church. And we're going to continue to do that. But I began to feel like God wanted to do something different, and as we were talking about it in lead team, and then something happened that brought it all together for me on Christmas. I shared a little bit about it last week. On Christmas Day, Michael Crames, Michael, wave your hand, he's back there on the soundboard. He heads up our college ministry. He's part of our lead team. He had to come back to the church to get something, so he came in, and when he came into the sanctuary, and I had been talking, and he was thinking about it on the way. I had been talking about believing for the supernatural. You remember I talked about that? I even mentioned angels, and I asked how many people had seen an angel. And he was thinking about that on the way, because he has seen angels in his life, and he was thinking, I need to believe for more of that. And he came in, and we had to come into this room right here to get what he needed to get. And the lights were out in the building, and nobody was here. It was Christmas Day. And when he walked in that door, he saw an angel standing behind that pulpit. Now, Michael's seen angels before. In fact, he used to see an angel in the old building in Micanopy quite regularly. And he said this angel was bigger and stronger than the angel that was in Micanopy. He says, not sure if it was the same angel, and he just got stronger, or if it was a different angel. But he saw an angel standing right here, and it was dark in the room. And he walked up, and he felt led to stand right here in front of the pulpit. He had been having some pain in his jaw for several days. And he said, as he came up and stood right here in front of the pulpit, he felt a presence come, start at the top of his head, and start going down through his body. And when it got to his jaw, the pain completely left. And it went all the way down to his feet, and he felt like he was just standing in the presence of God, and the angel was standing here. And the angel said to him, there's a healing anointing available for this church. All they have to do is ask for it. Now, as I have been thinking about this prayer time, I felt like we needed to incorporate into our prayer time praying for people, for healing, physical healing, mental healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, hurts. I felt like God wanted us to take half of the time to pray for us, for individuals. And so then when he told me about this, I said, okay, now it's all coming together and it makes sense. Now, I want to do this right now. He said, all they have to do is ask for it. Now, how many believe that that's a word from the Lord that God is trying to show us? I've known for many, many years that we were supposed to be a healing church to heal people. I've seen countless healings. I've seen people not dead come back to life, but they were supposed to die any moment, completely come back, be completely healed. I've seen many healings, but it's not enough. There's more that have to take place. But I've always known this is part of the kingdom of God, an integral part of the kingdom of God. Several places in the New Testament describe Jesus' ministry. It said he was teaching, preaching, and healing. This is how Jesus summed up his ministry: teaching, preaching, and healing. And Jesus said in John 14:12, the same things I do, you shall do, and greater things. So what are we supposed to do? Teach, preach, and heal. That's the ministry of Jesus Christ. Mark 16:15. These signs will follow them that believe. Not the apostles, not the pastors, them that believe. How many believe? These signs will follow them that believe. And it talks all about supernatural stuff, including lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And it says they went out and preached the word with signs and wonders following. This is basic Christianity, is supernatural. Christianity is not a mental gymnastic of just getting your mind in a certain place. There are things to understand. Yes, you need to use your brain. You need to understand. But there is a supernatural dimension to the kingdom of God and to Christianity that I believe it's time for the church to come back into. So I want to pray right now. He said the church needs to ask for it. I want to ask for that healing anointing. Can we do that right now? Father, we ask you. We join our faith together. We believe you're telling us something. We believe that this vision was from you, that this angel is speaking to us as a church. In Revelations, it talks about the angel of the churches. We know our church has angels. And we ask that you release that healing anointing into this church right now, into us as individuals, into our hands. And we would go in our daily life and we would begin to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. And at this altar, people would be healed. Sickness would be destroyed. Cancer would be removed. Diabetes would leave people's bodies. In the name of Jesus, we call it into being. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord some praise and believe that he's going to do that. So we're going to start this Wednesday. Come, believe in. Bring somebody that needs a healing. Yeah, just bring somebody. Let's test God. Let's let him show up and show out and start healing people. But we're going to do that on Wednesday. So every Wednesday, the next three Wednesdays, we're going to pray. We're going to pray for the sick. And then we're going to pray for our city. And this is going to be part of our 21 days. Now, I want to show you where we got this 21 days. Daniel chapter 10. You remember Daniel in the Bible? He was an Israelite that was taken into captivity in Babylon. He's the guy that they threw in the lion's den. Remember that? Daniel in the lion's den. And the lions, God shut their mouth and they didn't eat him, right? It was same Daniel. This happens later after this lion den experience. It says this in verse 2, in those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat, and this is where we get the Daniel fast, okay? Here's how he described it. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen. Obviously, we know this was not a human, but it looked like a man, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of Uphaz. Now, why would God stop doing, because maybe some of you heard this, and I want to be sure that we understand. There's a lot of people that say, oh, God used to do those things, but he doesn't do it anymore. Let me just tell you, there's no place in the Bible that says God stopped doing supernatural stuff. No place. That's just a fabrication of men. All throughout the Bible, supernatural stuff happened. You can't hardly find a page in a Bible where there's not something to, and this is one of these occurrences. An angel appeared, and he said he had this belt. His body was like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a tumult. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself. So now we're going to see some things in this passage and some other passage of what is accomplished by fasting. So what did he do? He set a fast. It wasn't just a water fast, because it depends on your situation. If you work heavy construction, you maybe can't handle that. And Daniel was a busy man. He had a lot. And so there were times when Israel would fast with just water. And this is an example where he said, okay, I'm going to fast, but I can't just do a water fast. I can't just go away to the desert. I have to exist and continue to do my job. So I'm going to do a fast that, watch what it does. On humbling yourself before God. This is the first thing that a fast does, is it humbles us. Listen, we all struggle with pride. If you don't struggle with pride, that's a problem. Because you have it, because the Bible says you have it. The Bible says every one of us in this room, we have lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. We have it, and if you're not struggling with it, it's winning, and you're not winning, you're not beating it. So you got to struggle with it. You got to identify it. You got to see it. You can say, where's pride? I got to whip this pride in my life. I got to whip lust in my life. I got to whip selfishness in my life, because it's there. And that's why Paul said, I die daily. He didn't physically die. He had to die to his, you know, impulses to do things other than what God wanted him to do. So he says, you humbled yourself before God. And what happened? Your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. Now, what added to this was that he, from the time he started, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the king of Persia. And I have come to give you an understanding. So there's another thing you might want to put in your notes. What happens in a fast? You get understanding. Understanding of what will happen. You can understand the future. What happened when he fasted 21 days? God gave him an understanding of the future. Do you need to understand the future for your life for this year? Yes, you do. What happened to your people in the latter days? For the vision pertains yet to the future. So what does it do in this passage? It humbles us. It gives us understanding. It gives us vision. Psalm 35:13. King David said this. He said, but as for me, he's talking about his enemies, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting. There it is again. Fasting humbles your soul. David did it. Daniel did it. Moses did it. Jesus did it. The disciples did it. The people of Israel did it. Look at this in Isaiah 58, more about fasting, verse 5 through 9. Is this, God speaking to his people, is this the kind of fast I have chosen, only a day for people to humble themselves? So he says, okay, it is for humbling yourself, but is that all? The answer is no, because he goes on. He says, is this not the kind of fasting I've chosen to loosen the chains of injustice? A lot of people are justice warriors. That's a big thing right now. Let me tell you what, one of the most powerful weapons to end social injustice is fasting. Whoo, glory, glory. To loosen the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke. Sometimes you can't break a habit because there's a yoke. Fasting breaks the yoke that you can't get free of. That ties you to something that you don't. What is a yoke? A yoke was what you hooked two oxen together with. Sometimes you and I get yoked to something we don't want to be yoked to because of past decisions, past habits have yoked us to something, and fasting will break that yoke so you can yoke yourself to Jesus. That's the yoke that you want. He said, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. The yoke that we put on ourselves sometimes from the world, from drugs, from bad habits, from sin, from lying and cheating, we get yoked to something that plagues us the rest of our life, and fasting can break that yoke so you can get free from that. Untie the cords of the yoke and set the oppressed free. Have you ever felt oppressed, like you can't get out of it? Fasting can break that oppression off you and break every yoke, every yoke. Watch this. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing will quickly appear. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. How many of you know it's all the weapon, all the armor is for the front. And what do you need? We need a rear guard. We need God picking up our rear, watching from our backside, seeing what we can't see. What fasting takes up our rear guard, lets God go behind us and protect us from anybody sneaking up on us. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You ever felt like you prayed and didn't get an answer? It's saying right here, 21 days can give you that answer. Set that as a goal. Maybe you've been asking God a question for years. You can get it. I believe you're going to get an answer in the next 21 days. And he will cry for help and he will say, here I am. It brings the presence of God into your life. These are all the benefits of fasting. Wow. That's powerful stuff. You know what? I believe we'll never be the same at the end of this 21 days. Yeah. I believe nobody in this room is going to be the same. We're all going to be different. We're going to go from glory to glory, strength to strength, victory to victory. What's your vision for 2020? Isaiah 43:18 says, the Lord says, forget what happened before. I think maybe some of us, probably all of us, need to read this every day during the 21 days because we live too much in the past of what should have happened, could have happened, what did happen. Upset about something that happened, upset about something that didn't happen. Continue just living in the past. And then here's what it says right here. For the Lord says, forget what happened before and do not think about the past. Look at the new thing I'm about to do. It's already happening. Don't you see it? See, he's talking about vision. Don't you see it? See, you can't see it with your eyes. We get so wrapped up in the past, so busy looking in the rearview mirror, we don't even know where we're going. We can't see where we're heading. And he's saying, I want to open your eyes so you can see what I want to do in your life. And what did he say? It's a good plan. To prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. It's bigger, it's better, it's greater than anything you can imagine. There's so much potential sitting in these chairs today that we can't even imagine what God has planned for us. It says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for them that love him. And that's when fasting brings that into your life so you can actually see into the spirit realm. God has something awesome planned for everybody in this room, a better year than you could have ever imagined. And I believe as we set ourselves to prayer and fasting is going to set that in motion. Don't you see it? Look at what he says. I'll make a road in the desert and a river in dry land. When man says it can't be done, when the natural says, no, it's not going to happen. This is a desert. It's a dry land. He can make rain in the desert. He can make a highway where there's no highway. He can make a way where there is no way. He can make a way where people be saying, you'll never do it. You're this or that. And God says, no, it depends on what I say about you. You'll be what I say you're going to be. Don't carry that old label, that old name. Don't miss next week. I'm coming back to talking about the name that I started with. Some people told me that was the best message they ever heard. I want to come back to that. And you need to get God's name and God's calling and what he's called you to do and break those old names and those old curses and those old lies and that negative stuff that people said about you your whole life. And the devil saw to it that someone would put you down. God wants to lift you up this year to high places. New things. Great things. See it. You see it with the eye of faith. See good things. See breakthrough. See the answer to prayer. See your healing. See abundance. See prosperity. See victory. See, we need a new vision. We need God's vision. See a new life. See power. See the supernatural happening in your life. A closer walk. I believe we ought to be expecting and believing for supernatural. Let me tell you how it's so simple. I just want to give you two little examples. I told you a couple weeks ago, the lead team, we went on a fishing trip, and Carl was talking to this lady, and we began praying for this lady. Let me tell you, the power of God is on the inside of every one of you. We make too little of it. We don't realize how much God wants to use us in people's lives. And you don't even expect it. It just happens. And we were praying for this lady at the fishing dock over there. And as I prayed, I began to just pray stuff. I didn't even know what I was talking about. I just heard. And she started crying. She says, God sent you here because there is no way you could have known what you just said. You said exactly. And she was crying. And God did something in her life. And then I was thinking, in October, we went to an art conference in Gainesville, and there was a speaker named John Gray. Have everybody heard of John Gray? He's a world-renowned speaker and preacher. He pastors a big church. He's on TV. He's famous. He was a great speaker. Afterwards, we're hanging out, and he's hanging out with everybody and talking, and Carl was talking to him, and I walked up, and we started. And just as I'm going to tell you, this should happen to every one of us. Now, some of you go, well, that's because you're Pastor Bill. No, this has been going on in my life for 45 years. When I was Miami Seaquarium Bill, when I was running the ice cream plant Bill, when I was fitness equipment Bill, it didn't matter. It's you got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. And we're standing there talking to John Gray, and I felt in my spirit, you need to pray for him. See, listen to the voice of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes, well, I can't hear God. You know what? Sometimes you hear God. We just don't recognize it. Oh, that wouldn't be me. And I first thought was, me? Pray for John Gray? I mean, it's John. And I said, John, can we pray for you? He goes, yeah. And we laid our hands on him, and the same thing. I just began to say stuff I had no idea. And when we stopped, he looked at me and said, prophet of God, you have no idea what you... I'm no prophet. I don't claim to be... But that's what happened to him. He said, you have no idea. He says, I'm getting ready to go back to a situation I had no idea how to handle it. He said, you just told me what to do. God just told me through you exactly what to do. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost on the inside of every one of us. This is to be the normal Christian life. Expect God to do so. You got people in your life that you can't stand because the devil's beating up on them, and maybe you're the one that just needs to pray for them and give them a breakthrough instead of complaining about them. Pray for them. See something supernatural happen in their lives. This is the normal Christian life. What do you want to believe for? How about a closer walk with God? Anybody like to have a closer walk with God? How about seeing your spiritual gifts manifesting? How about seeing yourself a blessing to others? Seeing other people getting saved, delivered, baptized, healed, marriages restored, using you. See God using you in marvelous ways. What do we see as a church for 2020? You know what? We see God using this new building. How many of you like our new building? Gary's here. He puts so much time and effort building and working, and Mac building. All of us, blood, sweat, and tears. It was hard, but we're here. And I believe we didn't do this in vain. God wants to use this building for his glory. I believe we're strategically positioned, and I want to start seeing youth getting saved. In fact, just in the last 2 months, we saw two high school students saved through the use of this building. We've seen a total of 25 people get saved in the last few months. I believe God wants to use this building to save people, to save youth, to save college students, to have an impact on UF and Santa Fe. What do we see as a church? What do we see? I believe we're going to continue this ministry to the homeless and just reaching out and helping the disenfranchised. I believe we're going to see Freedom Group growing and people coming and learning how to practice freedom and get free from the past. I believe we're going to see all these chairs filled and have to bring more chairs into this. I believe we're going to have to go to two services because God's touching people and helping people know God. Does anybody see that with me and agree that with me? What do we see? We see the lost getting found because that's the heart of God. Look at this last verse in Matthew 18, Jesus speaking. I believe we're going to see people far from God coming close to God. Jesus said this, for the Son of Man, talking about himself, right? Well, what did he come for? He's going to answer. The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. That's the primary call of the church. Yeah, we want to pray for you, want to help you, want to heal you, but this has to be the primary call. Jesus came to save the lost. Let this building be a place where the lost get saved. How are they going to get saved? We have to bring them in. We have to be the greeters and the people that work in the nursery and the sound booth. And we come together, and you don't come to church. You are the church, and we provide a place for people to get saved. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think, Jesus said, if any man has 100 sheep, one of them goes astray, doesn't he leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that is straying? You know what? The building doesn't go around and go through the city, but you do. You go places the building won't go. You go places I don't go. You go places the person next to you. Searching. What are you doing? Why are you out there? Why are you at that job? Searching for the lost, for the ones that have gone astray. Did somebody come looking for you? Did God come looking for you and bring you in? Aren't you glad you're in the ark of safety, the covenant of God? Are there people in your life that need that? He searched for the one that is straying. It turns out that when he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 who have not gone astray. Look at this last part. So it is not the will of your Father who's in heaven that one of these little ones perish. It's not. I know some people teach, yeah, God just sends... Some people are predestined to go to hell. That's not what the Bible says. It says it's not his will that anybody you know, anybody in your life, it's not his will that any one of them, think about all the people in your life, it's not his will. But Jesus said, broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. Straight is the path and narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and few that be there find it. So he did say a lot of people are going to take the wrong path. But he also said he's going to go looking for the ones on the wrong path and try to get them on the right path. You know how he does it? With you. They're in your path. They're in my path. Every day where we go, there are people that are astray. They're the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter. They've gone away, and they need to come back. And God's put them in our life. Can we believe for that in the coming year? Let's begin to see what God sees. There's people who need Jesus all around. Let's pray for God to send forth laborers in the harvest and then go be those laborers in the harvest. Let's come on Wednesday night, believing, expecting, bring people that need healing. Come to pray and put our prayers together and see mountains move in our city. Let's put God first this year. Let's go higher with God. What's our expectation? What are you believing for? 21 days of prayer and fasting as we set the course of this year. How about a closer walk with God? How about a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit? Let's go higher. Let's get closer. Let's see this church explode with young people, with children, with college students, with senior citizens, with poor people, with rich people, with people from every station in life, every color skin. We're going to go to a new level with God this year. See it. Believe it. I declare over you, you're going to go places you never dreamed of. God's going to take you to new places and new heights. Father, I pray for everybody in this room right now. I pray for your blessing on their life. And I pray that you remove the blinders from our eyes that keeps us from seeing our full potential. I break every yoke right now in Jesus' name. And I pray that at the end of 21 days, nobody will have a yoke of restraint on their life that they began this year with. Yokes are going to be broken. Chains are going to fall off. Old lives are going to be destroyed. And old names and old thinking and bad thinking and the negativity that they brought into this year. I say at the end of these 21 days, all that will be destroyed. And you're going to take us to new heights. You're going to let us soar with the eagles. You're going to start using us in supernatural ways. How many would like to be used? You'd say, and you're really serious about this, I want to see God use me in the supernatural in the coming year. Stick your hand up high and hold it up. I'm going to pray for you. Father, I ask you to take these lives and these hearts and these hungry hearts that are saying, yes, Lord, I want to be used in the supernatural. And I ask you now to put supernatural anointing. I stir up. Stir up the gifts that are within them from their mother's womb. You put it in them in their mother's womb. And I speak to it now. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Fill us with your Holy Spirit right now. Take us to new. Let us go from ordinary to extraordinary. Let us go from natural to supernatural. We want to see people healed when we pray for them. We want to see prayers answered. We want to see mountains move. We want to see things supernatural happen in our life. Hallelujah. Give the Lord some praise. He's doing some supernatural stuff. Lord, I just thank you for every person and every goal that's been set and every heart and everything that we have on our heart and things that people have written down on these papers. I pray over these goals right now, and I say they will be accomplished. And you will help us do our fast. It's not going to be natural. It's going to be supernatural. You're going to show us exactly what to do and how to do it. And these next 21 days are not going to be normal. They're going to be super normal, supernatural, above and beyond. And right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I got an important question for you, and that is this. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, I don't know. I think so. I hope so. Does anybody really know? Well, that's a pretty important consequence to not be sure about. And yes, you can know, because the Bible says, I've written to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to know that you have eternal life. Well, how do you get eternal life, you say? Someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you must be born again. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Having Christian parents doesn't make you a Christian. Owning a Bible doesn't make you a Christian. You must be born again, which simply means there comes a time in your life where as an act of your own free will, you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive all your sins. He comes and he lives on the inside of you and he makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, you're not sure if you've ever done that. That's why you're here today. And in just a moment, I'm going to pray for you and we're going to take care of that. But you might be here today and you say, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm really not where I want to be with God and I want to make a fresh start. Fresh start. It's a new year. Fresh year. I want to make a fresh start. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If either one of those two apply to you, just stick up your hand real high so I see where you're at and I want to pray for you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Fresh start. New start. Surrender your life to Christ. If you never surrender to Christ, you're going to do it right now. Anybody else? Anybody else? Put your hands down. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Everybody pray this prayer with them. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. You died on a cross for my sins. God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior, and I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God. Yeah, I believe this is going to be your best year yet. God's going to take you places you never dreamed of. Listen, if you prayed that prayer with me, for the first time, on your connection card, there's a little box, and if you check it, I'm going to send you some special materials in the mail. There's going to be some prayer teams up here at the end of the service. Pray with anybody that needs prayer for anything. If you don't have a Bible, come on up, and we're going to give you a Bible. Put your name in it. Don't forget to put your connection card in the offering basket when it comes by. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings. There's an offering envelope on the back of the seat in front of you. Here's my offering verse. Genesis 28, it says, this stone which I've set up, this is Jacob doing this, which I've set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Maybe you've never done this. Maybe you've been afraid. Maybe you didn't have the faith to tithe and give a tenth. Maybe this year they set a new precedent and you start tithing. You know what? I test God. In fact, the Bible says, test me. Test God. Start tithing and see if he doesn't open the windows of heaven. Pour out a blessing till it overflows. There's a lot of us in this room that have done that, and we can attest he's a good God and he'll take care of you. Well, there's three ways you can give. You can give in the envelope, you could give on the website, or you can text to give if you need more information on that. It's on the screen, or some Pastor Mike could probably help you with that. I want to thank you for the Christmas offering. We talked about it by the end of the year. You all did awesome. You gave great. People stepped up. I know everybody did what they could. So we really went to a new level. I mean, we still have, you know, not paid for all the remodeling, but I was sharing with you, and since we've been in here, we have a deficit between what our new expenses are and what our regular income is, and it's helped us a lot. Your Christmas offering, thank you so much. It's going to help us overcome. So let's pray over the offering right now. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give into the kingdom of God, good seed into good soil. I ask you to take these gifts, multiply them. We pray over this offering, and we say that it will win souls and make disciples and bring glory to your name. And I say it will give back to the giver a hundredfold return, which is what you promised your disciples. I say they're going to get back 100 times in every area of life. And right now I speak this blessing over your people that you told Moses to speak over your people. I say they were blessed coming in, they're blessed going out. In the city, in the country, in their home, in the field, when they lie down, when they get up. Blessed is their bread and their water, their basket, their bowl, their barn, their bank account, their job, their home, their car, their animals. Everything they put their hand to will prosper. I say if the enemy comes against them one way, he'll flee seven ways before their face. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. Every tongue that rise against them in judgment, they will condemn with the word of God. They are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. They shall lend and not borrow. In all they put their hand to, they'll prosper. I call increase into God's people. Spiritual, emotional, physical, financial, social increase. Blessings from every direction. Opportunity to pray for people. Lay hands on the sick and lead people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in Jesus' name. And everybody agreed with that, said, amen. Amen. God bless you as you give.